Our reading today is taken from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 12, and reading from verse 38 to verse 44. And in his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplace, and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May God bless to us the reading of his holy word. Amen.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Early on in my ministry here at Clooney Money Musk, I used to do quite a lot of weddings every year. I think Money Musk Church was a popular location and a small enough church to make it an intimate for a reasonable sized wedding. And of course, I'm a bit biased, but a beautiful church too for a wedding, as I'm sure all the churches in our parish group are. Anyway, I remember on one occasion being invited by a couple to conduct their wedding. I didn't know them. They were visitors, and they simply, I think, wanted the church. And they'd heard that I had done someone else's wedding that they knew, and so they thought, oh, he did theirs, he can do ours. And so over the course of the next maybe 6 months after me agreeing to do it, I got to know them a bit better through a couple of meetings in preparation for the big day. The big day came and went, and it went reasonably well. The service, if I recall, was acceptable. Never liked to say anything but anything else about that. But I carried on and enjoyed the service as much as I can. And in these days, and mostly now, but not always, I accepted an invitation to attend the reception. And so after the service, I usually go home and have a cup of tea and relax for maybe an hour before I head off, because it's such a long time between the service and the meal. And so I arrived at the hotel in good time. And I usually just go in and sit down in a corner somewhere or sit beside a group of people and just sort of start chatting to them. But this time, I never knew anybody, or hardly anybody. And so I just sat down. And to fill the time, I went up to look at the seating plan to find out where I was seated. Well, that's when the nose got put about out of joint. Because I instinctively, as most of the weddings that I attend, I was seated at the top table. I looked at the top table, looked down the list, looked back along the list. I wasn't anywhere there. So I looked at the next table and 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 the next table until I got to the table furthest away from the top table. The table, you get the impression where if they don't have any idea where to seat people, they just put them on that table. And there was my name. How could they? I married them. I'm the minister. I don't sit that far back, went through my simple mind. As I say, in these days I was a bit more full of myself than perhaps I am now, and thought that I had a place of honour, or at least should have had a place of honour. It turned out, I'm sure, the people at the table thought, oh no, we're sitting with the minister. Good grief, that's going to spoil the fun. But actually, it was one of the nicest weddings that I'd attended to in terms of reception, because the folk at the table made me feel very welcome, and I seem to recall us having a great time and a good laugh, sitting as far away as we could from the top table. I never gave it much thought. That was until I read the passage in preparation for our sermon today, and it all suddenly came flooding back. Me being full of myself. Me being so arrogant that I expected a place of honour simply because of who I was. In fact, not who I was, but what I was. I thought that the minister should have had a place of honour and should have had a seat where people could have looked at me and seen that that's the minister and he did such a good job, rather than having a laugh away at the back of the room. I remember that when Jesus recounted the story of the scribes and being all puffed up in their finery and expecting a place of honour. You know, in Mark's gospel, this follows on not far up from when Jesus speaks to a scribe, so they weren't all bad, and who challenged him about the greatest commandments. And the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets are built on these two commandments. And the scribe concurs. But a wee bit later, Jesus, sitting in the temple court, watching the people, starts seeing some of the scribes going around as I did, feeling a bit full of myself. I am a scribe, you're a pleb. I have a seat of honour, you can sit anywhere else. I get treated well, you can get treated ordinary. You know the sort. Well, hopefully you don't know the sort, and I hope I've grown out of it as I've got older. Jesus warns them about that. And then he goes on to tell that wonderful story as he's sitting watching the people putting their money in the offering plate. And thankfully, I never do that on a Sunday. And it was quite an experience for Jesus. He watched some people, no doubt, making a big fuss of all the money they put in. Because it's an important thing, donating money to the life of the church or the temple in Jesus' time. It was important. You know, you hear some stories about these cathedrals down in England that cost millions of pounds a year to run because of the upkeep and the expense. Even our little churches and our congregations that we serve here cost quite a lot of money to run every year. Imagine what the temple cost. The maintenance, the priests, all of the sacrifices and all of the services and all of the people that had to run the place and keep it clean, it must have cost a lot. So the offering to God for the upkeep of the temple was important. It still is, folks. It's still important. And I'm sure every church is grateful to those who continue to help fund the church as it goes forward. But Jesus doesn't assess people by the amount of money they put in the plate. Jesus assesses people by the love that is behind that gift. For he sees an old widow woman. She's on her own, and she makes no fuss as she walks up to the offering plate, and she puts in two little coins, maybe worth a penny. Insignificant in the cost of running the temple, insignificant compared with all the other people who'd gone up. And yet, Jesus picks her out. Not because of the amount, but how much that meant to the woman. Because that was her last two coins. In all of the world, that was all she had. And she gave it to God through the temple. And of course, Jesus praised her. There's a challenge there for all of us. There's a challenge there if we feel that, oh, well, we give so much every week. Or, you know, I've heard it said, the kirk's always after our money. They're always wanting more money. Some people say it as a joke, but I know behind them, there's sometimes not a joke. It's not the amount you give. It's how much that amount means to you. So somebody could give £1 a week out of very limited offering, and that would be worth more to God than somebody who gives £100 a week, because they can afford to give that much. God looks inwardly. God looks at the heart. The heart, that seat of love in the romantic tradition. The heart where the Spirit dwells, changes and challenges us, and brings us to a recognition of what God has done for us in Jesus. That old lady in the temple courts, she didn't know what Jesus was going to do for her. She didn't know that Jesus, the Son of God, was watching her. She put in her last two coins, maybe worth a penny. We would probably, and I probably would to my horror, starting off with a horror story and finishing perhaps with a horror story of my personality, would have maybe dismissed that penny. It's only a penny. But it was all she had, and she gave it to God. What's God asking of us? As we move into difficult times and challenging times and changing times, are we expecting things to always be the same? Are we expecting always to worship in our buildings, the places that hold dear to all of us across this parish group? Or are we going to have to give up something that's very dear to us? Maybe not our last coin, but maybe a tradition that we've held in the past. Maybe a place of worship where we've loved to attend. Maybe the list goes on. Be assured, Jesus is not looking for big ways of doing things. He's not looking for the grand gesture. Jesus is looking for what's in your heart. Are you willing to put a penny if it is your last? Are you willing to give up something that you hold dear for the furtherance of the kingdom? It's a question I find myself asking of myself a lot more recently. What am I going to have to give up as we move forward? And what are you? And am I going to give it grudgingly? Or with a big fuss, look at me, ta-da! Or am I going to be like the lady in the story and just put it in, make no fuss, and give God the glory? I leave that with you. Amen.